welcome to the Coltcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. Here are your hosts, Irfan Elijah, Buster Hine, and Leander Caney.
And Alex.
Hello, Gov.
Oh. Isn't that great?
That's
Wait,
awesome.
Was Alex out there?
What's that?
Of course I wasn't on there. I don't exist.
Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Irfan Elijah. We're back, and Leander Caney is joining us yet again. Hey, Leander.
Hey, Buffa.
Just call me Barfon. And we've got Buster Hine with us. Hey, Buster.
Oh, my French toast is burning. I'll be right back.
Okay, and while Buster's checking his toast, we've got Alex Excelsior Heath, a member of the Cultcast team, for those that didn't know. Alex, we're going to get you on one of these intros.
I know. Gosh, people, I exist.
So that was Brianna, one of the girls that listens to our show, daughter of a listener. So next time you guys are trying to drop an F-bomb, maybe swear.
Think of Brianna.
Think of poor Brianna. And I just want to say hello to Brianna. Thank you for your wonderful Cultcast intro. You know, I love these, and we've actually gotten quite a few. That I'm saving. They're like juicy bits and I'm saving. We got a really funny one from Scotland. And if you left it, you know who you are. We're definitely going to be putting that on the show. But alas, we can only do one per show. So, you know, I want to encourage people. So we have this new cult call system, which is great. So if you want to call it, you can leave us a comment. You can leave us a question. You can leave us a fave and rave pick. You can leave us an intro. And all the instructions are available online for you to read, so you know what to do before you call. Go to call.thecultcast.com, and all the instructions in there are there, including the phone number. And, you know, if you make a mistake during your message, just hang up, call back, or you can press pound and delete it and re-record it. Works just like a normal voicemail system. So please do that. Guys,
what
we had Apple's big earnings report.
Yeah,
and Apple just had the best quarter I think any company's ever had ever.
Show me the money.
What did you gonna say, Leander?
Well, the fourth best quarter of any company ever.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for making my
$13 billion in profit. It's a mind-boggling number.
What was Google? Google was like six.
They were less than that. They were around three or four, I think.
Oh, gosh.
In profit.
I want to read you guys this just to kind of put this number in perspective. Because, you know, we always throw out these numbers and people are like, oh, you know, another $13 billion. Who cares? So Bloomberg editor Mark, I want to say Gimmon. Are you guys familiar with him? I'm not. But he pointed out that Apple's earnings last quarter of $13.1 billion in profits. He wanted to put that in perspective. He compared it to Amazon. So $13.1 billion in profit just last quarter. Amazon, huge retailer here in the U.S., from its founding to the end of 2011, made $5.1 billion in profit.
Wow.
But when was it founded? Like in the late 90s, right? So in more than a decade?
So.
Yes. And that's, you know what, at least 10 years and only $5 billion in profits.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's insane. They were making so much money.
And the stock's getting a pounding right today. It's down,
14%. This makes no sense. It does.
It makes perfect sense from a Wall Street perspective.
Yeah. Why? You trade based on how do you think the company's going to grow. You know, you don't buy a stock when it's at its peak. Like Apple may be peaking as far as its growth unless they enter China more. So it's not going to keep posting huge record-breaking quarters every quarter, maybe at the holiday quarter and that's it. So you don't trade, you don't buy a stock if you don't think they're going to keep growing exponentially.
And there's still areas where Apple will grow, right? Because because you've got the iPad, which is cannibalizing Mac sales. You know, Tim Cook was clear about that.
But the iPad's a lot cheaper than the Mac, you know.
Right, but
less profit.
Right. Well, the margins on the Mini are significantly worse than they are on the 10-inch, but there is still a profit margin there. I think.
Yeah, but you're not looking at the profit margin as like 2,000 per machine.
Well, would you? Yeah, I mean, would you rather sell 100 million devices with a smaller profit margin or 5 million with a high profit margin? I mean,
that's a good point.
I mean, and Apple's getting money off the services. They're getting money, you know, 30% cuts out of the App Store. So I think it's in their best interest to push as many devices as possible because the software is really where they get their, you know, their bread and butter. And there's also the TV stuff, right? So,
Did you just say, like, they make most of their money off of the App Store?
No, I'm just saying, no, that's I didn't mean that. But
you called it their bread and butter, and I'm confused.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, Buzz is exactly right. I mean, this is exactly why it's getting the pounding on Wall Street. It's not because anyone thinks Apple's in trouble. It's because it looks like this amazing 3 or 4 year run of
has plateaued
of gigantic profits. Yeah,
has plateaued. Not plateaued, but it's slowing down. That doesn't mean it's stopped or that they're struggling. It just means that they're not going to be growing like as hugely as they have over the last 5 years, and that's true.
Right, this quarter last year, it was 200% growth in profits, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
From the year before that.
I mean, China's like a big key to that. If Apple can like do really well in China, then you know they can grow exponentially again. But that's still a few years away.
Well, he said, didn't Tim Cook on the conference call say that
they grew 100% in China for iPhone sales.
Yeah,
but
right.
That's not extremely impressive because they're not selling 10 million iPhones a year in China yet.
Yeah.
Well, they're not on China Mobile, right, which is the largest carrier in the world, and apparently a deal's about to be reached with that. So once that happens, I can't imagine the explosion that will happen there.
Yeah, right. And they're opening how many stores in China this year? 25 or something?
Yeah, around about that, yeah.
Hey, I want to read some of these figures from your piece, Alex. This is kind of just some numbers that Apple reported yesterday. So $54.5 billion in revenue, a new company record. $54.5 billion in revenue. That's insane. 15.43 million iPads sold, which is over 100% increase over the year before or over the quarter before. 47.8 million iPhones on the call. I know Tim Cook. Let me continue because we're going to talk about the whole iPhone 5 rumor that it wasn't selling. 4.1 million Macs. This is just crazy. I know. I think I saw a figure from Tua. That's how I pronounce it. Is that how you guys say it? Tua? Tuao? That said Apple was selling 10 iOS devices per second.
Ten a second,
too, but you know it's
per
okay.
Seconds.
Well, they've sold like 500 million to date iOS devices. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if that's true. That figure sounds a little stretched, but
dude, you're stretched.
I am.
And then Tim Cook in response. So they actually asked, Tim Cook wanted to address the rumor that iPhone 5 wasn't selling well. And you know what he said? It's nonsense, yo. That's a verbatim quote. So he talked about it, and he actually made some really good points. So in response to that Wall Street Journal article that came out and said iPhone 5 screen orders had been cut, he was like, you can't just look at one data point and make a statement like that and expect it to be true because – the supply chain is so incredibly complicated that we're getting supplies from all these different suppliers, and you really have to look at all those together to be able to get a good picture of how things are selling. And then he went on to say that not only had iPhone 5, they hadn't been able to make enough of them to sell as many as people were ordering, but same with the iPhone 4S and the 4 as well, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. The 4 was constrained all quarter, which is crazy. It's their you know 3GS replacement. Their $0 with a 2-year contract phone.
Mm-hmm. I mean the 3GS, if you got that for free, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of like a free phone. But the iPhone 4 is still a great phone, and if you could get that for free, I could see how people would be like, oh, spend like $200 on the iPhone 5, which is taller, or just go for the free iPhone 4. to sum it up, Apple's doing fine, obviously, as we kind of expected. And they tried to get Tim Cook to talk about new products. He, of course, wouldn't. But he had a lot of great insight onto what's going on.
Well, he dropped a couple of juicy little tidbits, right? He said that
tell me about those tidbits.
Juicy.
One tidbit was that he said the product pipeline is
chock full. I mean, they say this at every earnings call. They always say we're incredibly, you know, confident in our future product pipeline. Yada yada yada. Same.
Right, but they don't say chock full.
Chock.
It would have been great if he was like, you know, y'all, we got some cool stuff, but most of it's just going to be the same as last year.
We got the iPhone math. Yeah. We got the iPhone math. We got the iPhone algebra. We got the iPhone calculus.
So,
math. Where did that one come from?
That was a crazy rumor from China, some Taiwanese paper. Yeah, and it was the Apple is working on a like 5-inch phablet iPhone with a 12 megapixel camera that was going to be the third iPhone release of 2013 before the holidays. Like, Apple is going to do a 5S, a cheaper iPhone, and then a 5-inch iPhone math is what they called it.
iPhone math.
I don't even think we reported on it because
we did report on it. We did report on it.
Why'd you do it?
I didn't.
Why would you do that? Why would you do that?
Blame it on Sir Killian.
Buster, I want to talk a little bit about this photo you posted in that store window.
That was actually Leander was the one that found that.
Oh, you, Leander, geez, good find. So, and this is actually really interesting. So let me read you the title of the article. People hate Windows 8 so much, they'll pay $125 to downgrade to Windows 7. I only just saw this yesterday. It got retweeted a ton, but it was funny. I was actually having a discussion with somebody yesterday who had a PC die recently. She was trying to tell me that Apples were too expensive. So we got into this big conversation where I corrected her and let her know how it really is. But she was telling me that she wanted to buy a new PC, and the only PCs available are ones with Windows 8, and she doesn't like Windows 8. She's like, it's confusing. I don't know how to use it. And I've heard a lot of people say that. So she ended up paying like over $100 to downgrade to Windows 7.
Yeah.
And then I saw your photo in this picture. So just search the title on Call to Mac if you want to find it so you can check it out. Because, I mean, apparently that's what's happening right now.
Yeah, it's crazy. But
do you guys think that
you have to pay extra to get an older version? I didn't know that.
Well, because let's say you get like a new laptop and it comes with Windows 8 installed, you don't have the license for Windows 7, so you're basically paying that shop to use their license, and they're going to charge you $125, even though it's probably not worth it because they probably have like a corporate license to install it on.
Yeah, it costs them like $6.
Yeah. But I mean, people have been doing that for a long time, even before Windows 8. I just think it's pretty funny, you know. Often with Mac,
you know, once you get beyond the tiles initially, it's just like Windows 7, isn't it?
Well, not really. I mean, the tiles are great for a touch screen. You know, like if you have there's the yoga tablet or something from Lenovo where it's like a MacBook Air and it has a touch screen, and it actually works really cool because the tiles are great with a touch screen when you use your finger, but with a mouse it's not. But the desktop, you don't boot into the desktop mode.
Right, but then once you start to use it, you know, it goes into this horrible bold Windows 7, which is like terrible to use with your fingers. I mean, we were playing around at CES with those tablets, and when it was in the Metro interface, it was great because it's, you know. But then all of a sudden you got to do something, and then, you know, you got the start menu and the menus come down, and it's just like an old desktop OS. It's totally a schizo monster.
Schizo monster is a great way to describe it. It's confusing to me, really confusing, like what they're trying to do. Which is why
they're trying to do what I think Microsoft and, you know, the Winter World has always done, which is sort of like respect the legacy, you know, like, you know, how they keep VGA and serial printers, and they want to, because they're catering to this massive, you know, ecosystem of this old and I guess they want to keep the old software around
Brianna,
too. Right?
Remember Brianna? Oh,
sorry, Brianna.
Sorry, Brianna.
Yeah, that little girl. The cute little British girl.
Leander, you want to continue your thought or are you done?
No, I was ranting anyway.
Well, no, but he's right, though, because, you know, for Windows 8, instead of just embracing their Metro UI, they kind of made it a Frankenstein monster. They kind of wanted it to make it, like, kind of dip people in slowly into, like, this new crazy interface. rather than doing it all at once. And I think that's kind of caused a lot of confusion.
I think they don't sell, you know, it's a hard sell. It's the same when Apple switched from Mac OS 9 to Mac OS 10. You know, they've got to bring all the software along with them. And of course, Microsoft has a gigantic software ecosystem. And so they can't make these kind of breaks of the past. You know,
they could.
Yeah, but their business would be hurt.
It would be. But, you know, Apple does that all the time. I mean, Tim Cook even talked about it on the call. He was like, you know, we're not afraid to cannibalize our own products. Because although if we don't do it, somebody else is going to.
Well, they're doing it in a much more rational way because they came out with a totally separate, you know, operating system. Even though, you know, iOS is based on Mac OS X, it is a separate operating system. Microsoft's trying to do it both ways. They're trying to have one operating system for tablets and for PCs. And that's why it's a mess.
That's why it's a mess, because it doesn't do any one thing well. They're trying to do too much, I think. Well, hey, let's move on. Because we got a lot of, speaking of chock full, we got a lot of other stuff to talk about in this show. So we're going to be doing a CultCast Q&A. It's kind of a new segment. We've done this before, but I've officially coined it CultCast Q&A. And I did a shout-out for questions on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast. And we got a ton of great comments, so I want to read some of these people's topic suggestions, and maybe we can like kind of touch on this stuff. The first one is great. It comes from Christoph Kiel. He says, just let Leander laugh for 30 minutes. That would be hilarious. So, Leander, I'm going to set my timer.
Okay.
Okay, go.
All right, starting now. Can you just put it on a loop?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to do that, yeah. So we'll enter that at the end of the show for 30 minutes. Adam Prokopchuk says, I'm sorry, Adam. My name is Arifon, so I feel your pain. Your workflows, he wants to know our workflows and which apps you guys are using on a regular basis. I love this question.
Oh, man.
I know Buster does too. So, Alex, you're always using cool apps. Do you want to start us off here?
I've been using, I use a lot of apps for my Mac for my, you know, daily workflow. I've been beta testing Alfred 2, which is the next version of Alfred that's coming out here in a couple weeks. I'll have a post on it, but it's the shortcut app that I think I've talked about on the show before, where you can do a keyboard shortcut and search for apps on your Mac and open URLs and look at your clipboard history and control iTunes and do all kinds of things. And the new version has workflows, which are basically URL schemes that you can program to, like, say, if I were to do, you know, control space C, it would open a Safari window with all of the tabs that I need to start work, you know, to start working on posts, you know, instantly. Or it would launch a set of apps that I use to work, or something like that. So it's basically a way to just program your Mac with just quick shortcuts. It's really neat. And, you know, I use other things, but not, you know, I use Pocket to save links, like Buster. I use Dropbox all the time, but, you know,
Dropbox is like one of those essential apps.
Yeah, the new iPhone apps that they did recently is really good.
And of course, I know we both love Fantastical.
Yeah, I use Fantastical all the time on the iPhone.
Fantastical is a little calendar thing that lives in your menu bar, and you can use like natural speech just to quickly set an appointment. Dude, that app is getting better all the time too.
It is, and apparently they're working on some really neat stuff that's coming out.
Oh, really? Okay.
And yeah, a lot of stuff.
Yeah, Buster, you want to go next, or Leander, you want to go next?
All right, mine's easy.
Okay, what's yours?
Well, my entire workflow is Apple Mail.
That's it.
Everything I do. If I want to do a reminder, I send myself an email. If I'm writing something, I write it in an email.
Leander, there are so many like easier ways to do reminders.
I don't want to invest the time. See, there was a discussion yesterday about these like time, management apps, right? Yeah. And everyone's talking about it. And, you know, whenever I do it, I spend more time trying to learn how to do it than I actually do, you know, doing the tasks I'm trying to manage.
I'm happy in my
sad old ways. All right, Buster.
I'm pretty low tech as well. I just use Notepad, open that up in the morning, paste links to articles that I think I might be interested in, but I also have like 50 tabs open a day in Chrome. Mm-hmm. I'll use Tweetbot to keep track of like the Cult of Mac account, and then have a Twitter tab open for my personal and Facebook. Other than that, like just I'm in WordPress most of the day and just surfing the internet, so I'm not very high tech.
You know, one day what I'd love to do is talk about the photo apps that we all use to take photos and edit photos, especially on our iPhone. And Buster, I would love to hear what you do. We don't have time for that now, but
yeah, that's a good discussion.
Note to future self. I've got some great suggestions. At least I think they're good. So I use Text Expander. It's by Smile Software. And what it does is it allows you to create little text shortcuts that will convert into other bodies of text that you write. And I use this for everything. So, for example, at the end of every email, I can type TKS, and it transforms that into thanks, space, airfon. And these little shortcuts may not sound like they're helpful, but they save me a ton of time. When I'm requesting review units from different places to review for Call to Mac, I have pretty much a boilerplate email that I send, and I think I type like a four-letter shortcut, and the entire email pops up with like the space holders for where I need to insert the product name, any other pertinent information. I dress it up a little bit, and then I send it so that I don't have like spelling errors and stuff every time I send out emails. So Text Expander is really, 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 really great. So I would recommend that one. And then the other one I was going to recommend, ooh, this is a tough choice. I already talked about Fantastical. I think I'll go with 1Password. Do you guys use 1Password?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, totally. I use that all the time.
It's great, man. So 1Password is an application that keeps your passwords and other information stored in an encrypted database, and you have to have like a master password to unlock it. And I use it to enter all my passwords for all the different websites I use. And they also have I think it's still free, an app on the iPhone and the iPad.
It's not free. It's like $8.
Oh, but, 1Password?
Yeah, I mean, it actually might be more. And you know what? I love 1Password on the iPhone and iPad just because they redid it with iCloud. But the Mac version still doesn't have iCloud syncing, so I don't really use it. Like, a new Mac version is coming. Like, it should be here in like a month or so. And it's going to have iCloud, and it's going to be like completely redesigned, like the iOS version.
Oh, cool.
When that does happen, I'll hop on. But right now, I can't really get around it.
You know, right now, because you can sync your passwords across devices, you just have to open up the app on your iPhone or iPad.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi sync.
It's not the best solution. But so anyway, there you go, Adam. Those are some of our workflows, some of our favorite apps. Daryl Young asks, do you guys think we'll see any radical changes in iOS 7? iOS 6 is getting a little stale now. What do you think, Alex?
I don't know. I do feel like iOS 6 was a pretty weak upgrade, you know, from iOS 5. So hopefully they've got some
upgrade.
Really cool. Did I say upgrade?
Yeah.
I meant upgrade.
Yeah.
It's something that us writers that we say.
It's just a Kentucky thing. but I think iOS 7 is due for some big overhauls. And, you know, with Johnny Ive leading design at Apple now, you know, who knows how different it will look.
I feel like he won't have enough time to like actually make some huge things. So I feel like iOS 8 would be like a really big one to have a lot of like crazy new changes. And iOS 7 would probably just have like more flat surfaces, you know, just clean up a lot of like UI.
I'm not really sure what else they could add, honestly. You know, live widgets. I don't think they'll do that. I don't think they'll do that.
No,
I don't think so. They're kind of
What?
Do you want live widgets?
I do, yeah. I would love to see the icons on my iPhone be dynamic in some way. Mm. So, I mean, the honest truth is, like, we actually don't know a ton about iOS 7 yet. So I'm kind of expecting it to be kind of an upgrade, unfortunately, and not a major overhaul. I'm kind of in line with Buster's thinking. I think iOS 8 will probably be more major, but I think iOS 7 is going to be... you know, a less or not as significant as a change as we would all hope it to be. Francisco Gonzalez from our Facebook page again asked, do you guys think there is any chance Apple will release an iPhone with a 3.5-inch screen? I still think Steve is right. 3.5 inches is the exact size for iPhone. Is the exact size for a phone. I'm not sure what that means. Will this giant screen fad ever die? Actually, I misinterpreted his question when I first pasted it in here. I thought he was asking if we were going to get a bigger screen, like a phablet.
Oh, and he's saying he wants a smaller screen?
Yeah, exactly.
So that will never happen. I don't think
that will happen. They went bigger. I don't think they're going to go back. Do you think?
Well, do you think, you know, they're going to, I think obviously big screen phones are popular, right? People seem to really like them.
They are, yeah.
Even though they're all, everyone's completely wrong and Steve Jobs was right.
Yeah.
Hey, do you guys think that we'll see like a larger screen phone, something that's bigger than the iPhone 5, maybe wider?
Well, you know what? This is one takeaway that I got from the conference call yesterday because Tim Cook talked about this. Yeah, and this is something that they've talked about before, and it's really so simple. It's such a simple argument from Apple's perspective is all that they care about what it feels like in the hand. They want you to be – and they talk about this on stage all the time, but they want you to be able to hold it comfortably in one hand. And so like when the iPhone 5 came out, Phil Schiller spent like 20 minutes on stage talking about how they design – how the design is totally – you know, revolving around, you know, that you can still operate the screen in the phone comfortably in one hand. And for some reason, that's Apple's, like, that's Apple's litmus test for screen size.
Yeah, but we all have different size hands.
Well, yeah, but, you know.
You guys have small girl hands. I have big man hands. I mean.
Yeah, but I. But I mean, Tim Cook literally said that we are happy with the screen size we think we found the right one. I mean, that's what he said.
Yeah, well, they said that about the iPad too, and now they've come out with the iPad Mini.
Yeah, that's kind of right.
And, I mean, I'm not saying they won't. I'm just saying that you know, there's that's what they, for some reason, that's the main thing they consider.
Pulling a Steve Jobs trick there, right? You know, this is they say, oh no, we're not doing an iPod with video, and then 2 weeks later,
true, they come out with an iPod with video. Right?
They're just trying to put, you know, they're not trying to telegraph to the rivals that they're coming out with a massive 7-inch flablet.
Yeah, they could shrink the iPad Mini into like a smaller screen and have it be like a phone too.
But why even bother? Just stick a phone in there.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. I can pretty much fit that thing in one hand, and
it fits in your back pocket.
It fits in a huge pocket if you wear like size 38 jeans.
Well, the phone we were talking about last week, the Huawei one. I mean, that's only just a little bit smaller than the Mini, isn't it?
Huawei. Yeah, I think you're right. By the way, I don't know. People got a kick out of how we were saying that.
Didn't they say it like Huawei?
Huawei. Huawei. Yeah. We had some of our.
That was Huawei.
Here we go again. At least we're getting it. We're getting two shows of material out of this one name. Yes, somebody. I'm looking for it on Twitter. Somebody corrected us, and they're like, "It's." And they gave me the actual pronunciation spelled phonetically, but of course, now that I'm looking for it, I can't actually see it. Huawei. I'm gonna go with that one. So let's wrap up with this question. This is from Andrew Newsom, and then we're actually going to do faves and raves, and we're going to wrap up the show. Do you guys think there will be any completely new products announced by Apple within the next year, excluding the rumored Apple TV set? Leander.
What?
Do you need me to reread that?
You can't spring this on me. I'm totally unprepared.
Alex.
Busy surfing the internet.
Alex.
What?
Do you think Apple will release any completely new products besides the rumored TV set in the next year?
The answer is no.
Completely new, no.
No, I'm a no. I mean, Tim Cook did say that...
chock full.
It's chock full. And we have yet to know what that means.
You know what? I'm going to say yes. Maybe they're going to release a new adapter. Does that count?
Yes. Oh, dude, I would love a new adapter so much. Maybe Lightning 2.
Yeah.
And the cables would be like $40 each.
That'd be like a, I don't know, an SD card adapter or something like that.
I know something I would love to see them do, but I don't think they will. Well, an iPod watch. Bluetooth watch.
I think that will happen eventually.
You think it will happen eventually?
Yeah,
maybe.
I think you could be right. Yeah, but
I don't think there's a big market for it. I think that it's cool, but I don't think there's a huge market for that kind of thing. It's just it's the tiny, tiny, small market. I think.
I mean, do you guys wear watches?
Nope.
Yeah,
Alex.
No, but I'm gonna get the Pebble watch.
Yeah, but you're not gonna wear it.
Yeah, I will.
All right. Well, hey, thanks everyone for your questions on our Facebook page. We'll make sure we do some more. Cultcast Q&As in the future. Those are fun. And when Apple News is slow like it is now, it's great. It's like you guys are giving us our topics. Makes my job
slow.
Yeah, I think it's slow right now. Like molasses. What?
Well, the announcement, the earnings announcement, that's big news.
The what announcement?
The earnings announcement.
Yeah, that was. But, Land, are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, weird. Is everyone still there?
Yeah.
Alex?
Alex had to leave at 11, remember?
But it's 10:53.
Well, he's got a class.
Oh, he's got to run.
He's still in high school, man.
He's still in high school. That's because Skype just said the call has ended. I was like, what? I'm hearing your guys' voice right at this very moment. Okay, well, let's wrap up the show with one of my favorite segments. You guys know what time it is?
No.
It's time.
What time is it, Evan? Faves and Raves and Faves and Raves and
Faves. Oh, I love that. That's great.
That's an awesome intro, yeah.
Yeah, that is a great intro. I want to thank Jamie for sending that to me. I think it was Jamie. I'm sorry if my memory is betraying me, but UK listener. It's probably not, and he's going to be super pissed. I love you. Don't be mad at me. Hey, guys, so let's do some faves and raves. You guys got a pick? Get your picks all picked out?
Was I alerted about this?
You were yesterday, but you know, normally when you were alerted, you pick something off the cuff anyway.
Okay, that's true.
You're good about that.
That's
true. Let me vamp for a minute, and then you can
don't
pick
worry,
your,
I got it.
Okay, so let me explain to our audience what Faves and Raves is. If you haven't listened to the show before, you're among the lucky ones. Faves and Raves is the segment where we pitch our favorite gear or apps and then vote on which one's best. As you probably well know, we're always testing out new apps. We're always reviewing new gear. So this is a chance for us to say what we like. Do you guys want me to go first so you have some time to think?
Yeah.
Okay. So as we were at CES, 2 weeks ago? Gosh, it seems like a long time ago. We were going through the show floors, and we get to see all sorts of new crazy products. And I ran across the Blue Ant booth, and they gave me a product to review called the Ribbon. Blue Ant makes Bluetooth headsets, Bluetooth like accessories for iPhone and other stuff. So the Ribbon is this tiny little device that's shaped like a ribbon, and it has all sorts of really cool uses. So you connect it to your iPhone via Bluetooth, and it's rechargeable. And you can then connect the ribbon to a car stereo via an auxiliary port or a home stereo via the auxiliary port. So just the basic 3.5 millimeter cable that most of these devices have inputs for. And then stream music directly to those devices from your iPhone. So it basically turns almost any speaker or car stereo with an auxiliary input into the wireless kind. So super cool. But it also will do the same thing for headphones. So let's say you're a runner, you like to listen to stuff at the gym. The ribbon, the way it's shaped, will slip easily onto any piece of fabric, into a pocket or something. And then you can leave your iPhone in your pocket and control all of your audio with the ribbon. And it's also water resistant. It's covered in like this cool rubber shielding. So I think it's like slightly rain resistant too, since I know how much Leander sweats when he runs abnormally. You're an abnormal sweater.
I think this would be useful for Buster after a night of drinking at CES.
Oh yeah, this is what Buster needs to use after a night of drinking when he's just sweating profusely all night. So anyway, I just reviewed this for Cultimac. It's great, a really great product. I gave it 4 out of 5 stars. So it had some small issues, like the fact that, skipping tracks is kind of slow, but I really liked it a lot. So that's my pick, the Ribbon from Blue Ants. Who wants to go next?
I'll go.
Yeah, crickets.
That's my favorite.
There's a new app out today. It's called Vine from Twitter. That's going to be my pick.
Okay, what does it do?
Basically, you can kind of make like your own personalized GIFs. GIFs, GIF, not GIFs, not presents. Okay. I mean, it's like it's kind of like the Snapchat of video for the internet. Like, you get a 6-second video that you can make, and you can share it right onto Twitter. I don't know. It's really simple. It's pretty stupid.
Twitter released this?
Yeah, it's by Twitter because Twitter bought Vine.
I didn't know that.
And maybe in the future it'll just be integrated directly into the app. But, if you want to get creative and make some cool videos, you can do that with Vine.
Okay. Leander?
Okay, well, it's going to be the new iMac I just got.
You got one of the new ones?
Yeah, one of the slim ones. I ordered it like 2 months ago.
Are you using it now?
I'm on it right now.
Dude, no wonder your audio sounds so good today.
Yeah.
Well, I think that might be the new microphone.
Yeah. Leander also got a new Rode Podcaster microphone, which is what I use, which is why he sounds so luscious today.
It does, yeah. That's a beauty, that is.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to say that.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
But yeah, the new Mac, although, you know, I've had it set up about a week and it has a Fusion drive, which is a combination flash drive and hard drive, and it's supposed to automatically speed up all your apps. And I guess that, you know, to be honest, I haven't really noticed the difference from the old Mac yet.
What was the old Mac?
Well, it was a couple of years old iMac.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty
surprising. That's something you should notice.
Well, I think that, you know, apps launch faster, but actually using apps, of course, you know, like, you know, email, right? I just told you about my workflow. It's not especially, it's not very complex. Yeah, I do run TweetDeck, and I've got Chrome open with about a million different tabs, email, you know, calendar, that's kind of stuff. I mean, I'm not doing any really heavy processing, no video editing, and no Photoshop. But it hasn't. I mean, where would I notice? I guess. I mean, you know, like I kind of thought this thing was going to be really Star Trek, but so far it hasn't. You know, the Fusion Drive, I haven't actually, you know, sort of seen where it comes into play yet, I guess.
So you're saying I shouldn't buy one?
Well, you know, I don't know. I just wonder. I think if you have, if you're a regular user, like, you know, like me, I wonder whether it's actually that necessary.
Well, because, yeah, that's what I've really been debating it. I was planning on it. I sold my Mac Mini and my cinema display and was going to get the new iMac, and I'd just been using my 15-inch MacBook Pro, and now I'm like, I don't even know if I need an iMac anymore.
Well, that's the thing. If you have a MacBook, it's like, especially yours, Buster, you have a really nice one.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably close to as powerful as an iMac, and it's super portable. So, like, what would you do with an iMac?
Well, I was actually going to get an iMac and then sell my MacBook Pro and get a MacBook.
Oh,
I think there is no point in having both of them.
Yeah.
You know, the screen is amazing. The screen's huge. I mean, it's 27 inches, and I got it.
Oh, you got the 27-inch one.
Yeah, and it took forever to come from, because it was a special order. And it had to, you know, it took, I ordered it when it was announced, which is back in September, November. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, it took all this time to show up. And the screen's great. I mean, I've got it in front of my old Mac, so it's about 6 inches from the edge of the desk. There's only just enough room for my keyboard. So when I have to actually sort of physically move my head to look from one, you know, from one end of the screen to the other.
That must be exhausting.
It is exhausting. Yeah, my neck is is kind of tied out, but I'm getting these huge muscles in my neck now.
You look so good next time I see you. All right, guys, let's vote. This is going to be hard. You, freaking Leander has a brand new computer. I have a Bluetooth device, and you have an app that you don't even like.
You don't even download it yet.
So, Leander, you can have the tie-breaking vote in case there's a tie. We'll let you go first.
Oh, do I have to vote for someone else's? I was just caressing
mine
my
or
back
Busters,
here.
Mine or Busters?
Yours.
Mine, the ribbon. Yay!
The ribbon, yeah.
Oh, like that stupid ribbon.
Okay, so you're going to vote for Leander's iMac?
Yep.
Okay, me too. Dude, you know you're going to win with an iMac.
It is a beautiful design. My God, it's so thin around the screen.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of lusting one of those, but I don't really know why I would need one either.
Yeah. You can't see it when you're looking at the screen, but it does look beautiful on the desk.
Does it have a big old booty like we had talked about when it first came out?
It bulges out of the back, but that's mainly, I think, for the hinge, you know, for the stand.
Oh, really?
It's very light. It's only about, I don't know, 20 pounds or something.
Oh, my gosh. That's incredible.
Well, it's compared to the old one. The other one was like 60.
When you took it, when you took a look at its rear end, when you were like, damn,
girl.
You say it like that, except it was some weird British hybrid of that.
Yeah, I was trying to think what the British
damn
version
girl
is. Cool.
Oi! All right. Well, that's it. There, you win. Congratulations. I need to put a cheering sound. I need to put a cheering sound on my soundboard. But
what about I'm so excited?
You get this. I'm so excited. How about that? You win. Okay. Congratulations.
That's great.
All right, guys. That's all the time we have for this week's CultCast. You know, the conversation continues on Facebook, facebook.com/TheCultCast. Leave us a cult call, please. We want to hear your intros, your comments, your questions, your favorite rave picks. Go to call.thecultcast.com. And, of course, you can always interact with us on Twitter. We're always on there having a good time. Leander is at L. Caney. Buster is BST3R. Alex is Alex E. Heath. I'm at Airfon. And, of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, be sure to follow at Cult of Mac. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. We're going to see you next time.
Ta-da. Yeah, yeah. That whispery goodbye is creeping me out.
Let me bring in Alex and Buster.
Hello.
What?
All right, we got the full clan here. Everyone can hear each other. So,
do I sound okay or fine?
Yeah, I hear somebody like washing dishes or something in the background.
I know. I don't know who that is. It's not me.
Grabbing their chode or something.
That's me.
It's Buster's beard.
You guys ruined my schedule.
Buster's washing his beard in the sink with dish soap. It's probably all lathery right now.
Yep.